Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth, and a shout out to all the new listeners that we're getting each and every week during this pandemic. But regardless of who you are, I can say with certainty that we all have one thing in common. We all want the truth about what's really going on with this scamdemic. So welcome to the 448th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, and this is the fourth in our very special series on the coronavirus, and I titled it COVID-19, Mind Control and Quenching the Spirit. In the Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, it's a very simple verse. It says, quench not the spirit. So what's this coronavirus, 5G, mind control, and quenching the spirit all have in common? Well, they are all happening to us right now on a worldwide scale. So stay tuned to learn more about this very important topic, because it's affecting all of our lives. And I want to share with you some of the latest developments and insights into the coronavirus heist, things that the mainstream media simply aren't talking about, and how fear is to Satan what faith is to Jesus. So I'll be right back. Hang tight.
It's a scamdemic. They call it the great equalizer. And say we're all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus heist and just say they know all their lies and mind control. The coronavirus, COVID-19, well, I call it a pandemic. The coronavirus heist, it's a scamdemic. They call it the great equalizer. And say we're all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus heist and just say they know all their lies and mind control.
Wow, you know, folks, that is something that I've heard so many times over the last couple weeks. We're all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers that be. So here, the first in the news on COVID-19, the coronavirus. And this one, I'll tell you, it's fit for the bizarro cartoon strip. And here's the title. It's out of Newsweek. Some Swedish hospitals have stopped using chloroquine to treat COVID-19 after reports of severe side effects. Well, hello. Yeah, of course. The one huge point that the article just fails to mention is that chloroquine, that's the basic form of the chemistry. We all hear the term hydrochloroquine. It's very toxic. That's why hydro was developed. It's a far less toxic type. Plus, these doctors in Sweden are using, they're overdosing their patients really on the chloroquine. And that's probably why they're seeing the side effects. So, folks, the doctors should already know this, and perhaps they do, and maybe this is one of those fake news things, because Sweden, again, is one of the places that have taken a different approach. They didn't shut down their economy. Neither did Brazil. Now, they're isolating those who are critically affected by this, the elderly, those with some kind of autoimmune deficiency, and they're letting rest of the quote-unquote herd, and that's what they call us, they're letting rest of the herd go out there and conduct business. So what is it with these doctors? Either they don't have any hydroxyquinone, and they're using the next best thing, knowing of the toxicity, or this is some sort of politically based decision to try to scare people away from an already proven safe treatment. And the news keeps coming out on this. Now listen to this one. And this is what some frontline doctors are reporting right now. And you can go out there and you can find some of the ER physicians in the quote-unquote hotspots reporting on this. COVID-19, and folks, I hope you realize that I know there's something going on out there. We have a motto, ordo ab chao, out of chaos, they'll establish their order, okay? So I know there's something going on out there. I know the media is manipulating fear in us. But I just want to share some of this information with you because you're probably not hearing it. A lot of people are talking about these acute respiratory failures, okay? But what they're starting to see now is that this quote-unquote virus, COVID-19, whatever it is causing a progressive hypoxia. And what happens is this invisible enemy is binding to the heme groups in hemoglobin, and that's what's in your red blood cells that transports oxygen around your body through a redox reaction between ferric and ferrous iron that's in the hemoglobin. So anyways, this current crisis, malaria, the bacteria in malaria, this thing, whatever it is, they're doing the same thing to the hemoglobin. They're binding with it, they're destroying it, and they're causing people to go into what's saturation, or their oxygen levels drop. So their lungs are healthy. They really technically don't need a respirator. And they're starting to experience what's known as oxygen desaturation. And it leads to organ failures, and that's ultimately what kills them. But when you use this hydroxyquinone, coupled with some of the other things they're doing, the zinc and some of the different antibiotics and the Z-Packs, what they're finding is that it interrupts this destructive process of the agent being the bacteria in malaria or this COVID-19, from destroying the hemoglobin. Now, when the hemoglobin gets destroyed, it drops these detached or denatured ferric and ferrous iron particles into the lungs. They're extremely oxidizing. They're a free radical, and they're causing that classic lung damage that you're seeing in these images that they're showing, and they're being confused for something else. And these doctors on the front lines, I'm just sharing with you what's out there, and it's not getting any attention. These doctors on the front lines are saying these people don't have ARDS, which is the acute respiratory syndrome, and it's not pneumonia. And this hydroxyquinone is working. So why is there all this pushback from people like Dr. Fauci and Birx that should be staying on top of all this? And they keep talking about, oh, it's only anecdotal evidence. Folks, did you know that both of those are in bed with the World Health Organization and the Bill Gates Foundation, and they're pushing these universal vaccines? And folks, they don't even know for certain what this is. So these are the top MDs pushing this effort, okay? And they're not talking about this, and they're continuing to badmouth hydroxyquinone, yet they're lauding the hope, which is in the distant future, because there are all sorts of things that have to happen for a vaccine to be deemed ready or fit for use, which, folks, don't even believe that. We can get into that sometime in the future. But they're not even talking about this. They have an agenda, and that's the point. Now, I'm a PhD chemist, and I'm aware of this, and I can navigate it. I'm not pretending to be a doctor. I am not. Not in the clinical sense, not in the practical sense, but technically, I can read this material. I can digest it. I can comprehend it. I can make associations. I can see good science, and I can see bad science. Praise the Lord. It's all by the grace of God. He's blessed me with the ability to do that. And what I'm seeing is some really bad science. So I mentioned Sweden. I mentioned Brazil. Do they have the right solution for the coronavirus? Yahoo News on the, when was it? The 18th of March. Was that right? No, that's, I don't have the dateline here. Anyways, this article kind of about how Sweden has taken that different approach. They've avoided this concept of lockdown. And isn't it ironic, Mary, a woman who manages our office and helps us with production at the plant, she And praise the Lord, we got to stay open because we supply a critical component to the repair of the huge generators that keep all of our lights on and all of our Netflix streaming. So praise the Lord, we get to stay open. But anyways, Mary said, isn't it bizarre how they're releasing all the inmates and they're locking all of us up? Wake up, America. But anyways, this article talks about the fact that this is a way to develop that herd immunity. And then I hear all the naysayers saying, well, there's not enough people that have it. Well, how do you know until you do antibody testing? So anywhere you go in the world, what we have are public health officials, a bunch of geeks experimenting on us. And don't even get me started on Bill Gates. He's all of a sudden the messiah of vaccinations. He's a software guy, folks. I hire those kind of people when I need solutions on platforms, on operating systems, on control loops. I hire those kind of people, but I'd never go to them for medical advice. So what's going on with that? Or how about on Thursday, April 9th, after the press conference on Fox News, and I tried to get a clip of this and I couldn't find it. Martha McCallum, okay, she's interviewing one of the modelers from the Washington University model, the one, the IHIE model or whatever the acronym is. She asked him around 7:45 Eastern Standard Time. She asked him about the reduced numbers of deaths and the reduced numbers of hospital beds needed. And he said, well, Martha, that's because of social distancing. And then she shot right back and she said, but that was included in your model. When this all started, we were supposed to expect 2.5 million deaths. And you said by social distancing, the model brings it down to 250,000 or less. And now it's under 100,000, and now they're talking 60,000. Folks, SARS had more deaths than that. The flu has as many deaths as that. And by the way, all these numbers are dropping right now. And that's because a lot of the states, especially those antagonistic to the current administration, they're bringing politics into it, and they're telling their doctors and their nurses to classify all deaths that have any indication of being related to some sort of respiratory issue as a COVID-19 death, a coronavirus death. Why? Because they want to pad these numbers. So Martha asked that. She pushed back. And then he said, well, we didn't include that. Florida. And she kind of just like looked at him because that's not true. It was included in the entire model. And then she went on and she said, well, how about, could you explain Japan's approach to this? Where they did something very similar to Sweden. They had a very comprehensive mask program. They isolated those at risk groups in their demographic, and they allowed most others to go about business as usual. And Tokyo, just across the pond, so to speak, from China, had 85 deaths. So you know what he did right away? Got right back into the talking points of social distancing and lockdown and talked about Spain and Italy. And then Martha grimaced again, and I was saying, come on, get back and say something concerning Japan, but he didn't, or she didn't. So it's sad. It's unfortunate. And then in that, I believe it was that same press conference or the day before, Dr. Birx admits in the United States, anyone that has any kind of relationship to COVID-19, regardless of other health issues, is being counted as a COVID-19 death. Listen to this.
Countries that if you had a pre-existing condition, and let's say the virus caused you to go to the ICU and then have a heart or kidney problem, some countries are recording that as a heart issue or a kidney issue and not a COVID-19 death. Right now, we're still recording it, and the great thing about having forms that come in and a form that has the ability to mark it as COVID-19 infection, the intent is right now that those, if someone dies with COVID-19, we are counting that as a COVID-19 death.
Can you be sure, you hear from coroners that that's not necessarily the case, or are you sure, how can you be confident about that, and is there any concern that it skews the data that you're trying to collect in terms of projections and things like that?
Well, I think that would apply more to rural areas that may not have the same level of testing, but I am pretty confident in New York City and New Jersey and places that have these large outbreaks and COVID-only hospitals. I can tell you they are testing. New York and New Jersey together have, by proportion, are testing extraordinarily well as Washington State and Louisiana. So I don't see that there's been a barrier in testing.
Folks, did you hear that? That reporter with her second question did not ask her about making sure we get every single one counted that maybe shouldn't be. She was asking the exact opposite. And then what did Dr. Birx do? She blamed it on the podunk hospitals out in the country. I'm telling you, she has an agenda, and it's a global vaccination program with a tracker chip. And there are patents out there on this stuff. Folks, did you know the COVID-19 virus is patented? Did you know that the actual virus itself for coronavirus is patented? They've been working on these things for the last 15 years. Plus, we hear about all the hospitals right now that are war zones. Okay, listen to this headline. California hospitals face a war zone of flu patients, and they're setting up tents to treat them. That's in the LA Times. But wait a minute. It said flu patients. So what's going on here? Oh, this is from January 16th, 2018. Did you hear that, folks? That was a headline over 2 years ago. You know, straight, plain, and simple, folks. This is a planned shutdown of the economy, a scamdemic. Listen to this article out of MarketWatch, March 23rd, 2020. This is right out of the mouth of the CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. James Bullard is his name. And he said, and this is a quote, "This is a planned, organized, partial shutdown of the U.S. economy in the second quarter. The overall goal is to keep everyone, households and businesses, whole. It is a huge shock, and we are trying to cope with it and keep it under control." Right out of the horse's mouth, folks. I didn't say it. They did. But the point is that very few people truly understand what the Fed's intentions are. And their intentions are to destroy us for their own profit and their agenda, which is on their dollar bill, which is the New World Order. You know, it is planned, folks. And if you still don't believe me, there's this event that happened last fall. I mentioned it, okay, in some of the prior shows. It was called Event 201. That's all you have to do. Put that in your search engine. And I'd recommend something other than Google, because I'm noticing something with Google right now. Even when I tried to pull up the patent, it just hangs me. So I had to go to the U.S. Patent Office. It's much more tedious, and I was able to pull up that patent. I wanted to put it up as an image, and I didn't. And, excuse me. If you'd like a copy of that cover page for the patent, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com. And I'll get that out to you. And oh, by the way, I have a Twitter account now. I encourage you to go to it. It's broken_1961. And follow me, and I'm going to try to learn how to use that material, that information, and use Twitter to get some of this out there. But anyways, this is the promo, a portion of the promo video they made for this event that happened last fall. And just listen to these first what is it, about 99 seconds. Just listen to this.
It began in healthy-looking pigs months, perhaps years ago. A new coronavirus spread silently within herds. Gradually, farmers started getting sick. Infected people got a respiratory illness with symptoms ranging from mild flu-like signs to severe pneumonia. The sickest required intensive care. Many died. Experts agree unless it is quickly controlled, it could lead to a severe pandemic, an outbreak that circles the globe and affects people everywhere.
The mission of the Pandemic Emergency Board is to provide recommendations to deal with the major global challenges arising in response to an unfolding pandemic. The board is comprised of highly experienced leaders from business, public health, and civil society.
We could be looking at double the number of cases in 1 week and 16 times as many in a month if we are not able to stop the spread. That would be on the order of 500,000 cases, and it would continue to rise exponentially. In 3 months, we could be approaching 10 million cases.
We're at the start of what's looking like it will be a severe pandemic. And there are problems emerging that can only be solved by global business and governments working together.
Folks, did you hear that? This was at John Hopkins last fall. And who was sitting there? Bill Gates and his wife. A lot of these movers and shakers. I'm sure, I don't have this proven, but I'm almost certain that Fauci and Birx were there. And this is going to require the cooperation of global governments and businesses worldwide. Folks, this is a scamdemic, a plandemic. They even use the word coronavirus. Give me a break. Come on, they're right in our faces. Listen to this article out of MB.com. U.S. banks prepare to seize energy assets as shell boom goes bust. So JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, and Citigroup, these are all part of the Rothschild dynasty. They're setting up these shell companies, okay? And they're going to seize oil company assets here in the United States. Now, they're going to give the producers to this fall when they're going to reevaluate the collateral behind these energy loans. Just give them time to get their house in order. Now, remember, these big banks, too big to fail, get their funny money from the Fed, who prints it now. And by the way, I mentioned last week, the Fed and the Treasury are now essentially one, okay? So they're going to take funny money that they literally print out of nowhere and seize hard assets where somebody had to take their wealth and couple it with labor, okay, to produce these shell oil fields, to put the pipelines in. Pennies on the dollar. And this isn't going to stop with the oil industry, folks. It's going to sweep through the nation. And when it's done, you're not going to recognize this country. So if people think it's just going to get back to normal, it's not. Fundamentally, the economy of the Western world is changing. And there's a couple Klingons, a couple countries that aren't going along. Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. Now, I'm not praising them and making them out to be something they aren't, because they're all part of this beast system. But they're saying, no, we don't want to play by those rules. And now I hear the drumbeat of war with China. Well, did you know that Iran and Russia have alliance pacts with China? So basically, it's a BOGO type deal. Go to war with one, you get the others. And that's part of what they're trying to do. So they're seizing assets. They're trying to recreate their off-kilter New World Order plan because of this disruption with the Trump administration. And I'm starting to question him too, folks. I think he's the other side of the Scarlet and the Beast story that I told you last week, the two branches of Freemasonry, secret societies, the French and the English Freemasons. That's a story for another day. Maybe we'll get to it. I don't know for sure. But the bottom line is they're using this scamdemic, this plandemic, to get us all into that delusion that we're in this together and we just have to hold hands and sing kumbaya and everything's going to be okay. It's not, folks. Unless we stand up and start asking questions like that reporter did to Dr. Birx. Okay? Like the Fox story I mentioned with Martha McCallum. You got to start asking questions, and I'm hearing the reporters do it, finally. That's your job, folks. Get out there and ask these questions. I would if I had a press pass to get in there. So what about this 5G connection to the coronavirus that we're hearing about? Well, first off, just let me tell you, I'm not making any blanket assertions here. I'm not saying 5G is causing this, but I'm asking the question, okay? Is there some relation between 5G and these symptoms we're seeing? So I don't have any across-the-board answers. I'm not saying there is a direct correlation because I don't have that. But what I'm asking are simply a few key questions. And there's possibly some clues there. So that's the context of what I'm going to share with you next concerning 5G. So please keep it in that context, okay? What I'm suggesting is that what we're calling this COVID-19, the coronavirus, isn't one disease with one cause. So it's not one thing. Instead, it could be a variety of traditional diseases and various types of exposures that can be causing a clustered or similar type of effect. And what the public health officials are doing are putting it all under this one umbrella, and they're calling it COVID-19. Now, I know of at least two health issues that are identical in symptoms to what they're talking about with this coronavirus. One is a zinc deficiency, and you can see that out in the medical literature. So a zinc deficiency will cause similar effects with regard to respiratory issues and flu-like symptoms. And guess what else will? Exposure to microwave radiation in the 40 to 60 gigahertz range. And that's exactly where 5G is. Plus, I'm noticing there's these fake cluster situations, and I'm calling them fake cluster situations. Not that people aren't dying in New York. Not that there's not a hot spot in Detroit. Not that there's not a hot spot in New Orleans. But the question is this all coronavirus? Remember, this is the same government that experimented on those black communities with syphilis. This is the same country that allowed Alcoa to dump their waste from smelting in our water supplies, and they call it fluoridation. This is the same country that passed all the artificial sweetener laws under the Bush administration because Dick Cheney sat on the boards of some of those companies. How about Monsanto? I can go on and on, folks. And they care about our health? I wouldn't put it past these deep state folks in our government to release this upon the population. What's this? Well, maybe they sprayed a virus over those hot spots. Maybe they've amped up the 5G radiation in those hot spots. And don't even get me started on the poor nutrition and the garbage that most people eat. And why? To create this false flag event of sorts, okay? To further along their agenda. This is like a black swan event. And I was wondering, how are they going to do another 9/11 that's going to get all of our attention? You know, this is just like 9/11, except it's in slow motion and on steroids. And I say that because there are some people suffering with conditions that are similar. They're actually saying now that the strain on the East Coast is different than the strain on the West Coast. And some are saying, hey, it's been around since last fall. I told you, I think it went through our plant last fall when my business partner Todd came back from an international conference in Anaheim last fall. Our plant was sick. We had everybody with all these symptoms in our plant. I do want to see this quote-unquote antibody testing. But why would they be doing this? Well, Burks, Fauci, and Gates, and there is an unholy alliance there, and that needs to be investigated. They have this vaccination campaign, okay? And did you know there was a big one carried out in northern Italy prior to the emergence of coronavirus over there? So is there a relationship between 5G wireless technology and this all-inclusiveness to the coronavirus? Well, there certainly could be, because there's some good papers out there that indicate that when you ionize oxygen at 60 gigahertz, it changes its absorptivity. And that's what has to happen with the hemoglobin cycle I explained to you. It's a redox process in the lungs and then in the capillaries. So it's Leo goes Ger, loss of electron oxidation, gain of an electron. And both are extremely dangerous types of reactions if they happen around tissue in any other ways than these bodies were created to have that happen. And that's what's happening to a lot of people's lungs right now. So is there a relation to 5G? Folks, I'm not certain, but I think it should be discussed. You can go out onto Ookla, the speed test page. Just type in speed test to your search engine, go to Ookla, and then search 5G under their search. And you'll see they have a map, and 5G is coming up continuously. So if there's any question, why don't we put it on hold right now, too? Plus, there's some really bad science in virology. Okay, they're claiming this quote-unquote virus, this invisible enemy, is causing this disease, but that still needs to be proven. You know, back around the AIDS crisis in the 1980s, the methodology used in germ theory was basically abandoned in virology. and these are called the Koch postulates. Too hard for modern-day virologists to abide by. And that was basically you had to identify this microorganism in abundance in somebody suffering from the disease, whether that's an animal or a person. So it has to be something that's found in the diseased individual, but not the healthy person. Then you have to isolate it from the diseased organism and grow a pure culture of it. And then these cultured microorganisms, which cause or supposedly cause this disease, need to be inoculated or implanted in a healthy cohort. And then that organism needs to be re-isolated after you identify those symptoms in that inoculated cohort that got sick, and then match them to the original, and then you could draw that conclusion. So why don't we ask the dynamic duo, Dr. Fauci and Scarf Lady, Dr. Birx, and let's throw Bill Gates in along with that. Let's ask him a few questions about the coronavirus. Show me an electron micrograph of it, a pure, fully characterized coronavirus particle. And what's the name of the primary document, the peer-reviewed paper where this virus was illustrated and all of its genetic information described and this process I just described done? What's the name of that primary publication? Folks, COVID-19, the coronavirus, has never been purified, isolated, visualized, you know, cultured. It's never been done. Yet they're claiming that this is what's causing all of these effects in these human beings all around the world that are breaking out with these respiratory issues. And there's still no testing for antibodies. Isn't this strange? The bottom line, and what I want to leave you with here, is the coronavirus has never been fully isolated and identified as a virus. Sure, there's some RNA strands they're finding in these tests, but there's something else that these quote-unquote scientists ought to understand concerning what they're testing, okay? And that is that a diseased cell will actually shed RNA called exosomes, and they have a similar genetic fingerprint to what they're referring to as a virus, okay? So sick cells excrete these RNA particles known as exosomes, and you could read about this, with a very similar appearance to what they refer to as a replicating virus. But you can't grow these things because they're dead RNA. So what else would make a cell sick? What else would make a healthy cell shed these RNA particles? Well, nutritional deficiencies, toxins, ionizing radiation, stress. Did you hear me, folks? Stress. Yes. Has anybody been stressed out lately? Well, could the tests that they're showing positive coronavirus for actually be false positives? Could it be? I'm just throwing this out as a possibility, and I don't see any thinkers talking about this. I don't see any of the science guys questioning this. They're all going along. And that's essentially this principle of compartmentalization, and that's what people do. They become experts in their little fields, and they're told, well, this causes that, and this causes that, but they never get back to what's known as first principles. They never validate any of these claims that are being told to them. And I'm referring to medical students, scientists. Engineering, it's a little tougher because it's very hard, but a lot of these sciences are becoming experimental in nature, and that whole begins with an assumption. So what I'm saying is that there could be false positives from RNA, fragments of these diseased cells that are healing themselves from toxins, ionizing radiation, stress, and they're being classified as COVID-19. Now, you know, folks, the average smartphone-carrying, latte-sipping sheeple out there, they've been so dumbed down by the government schools, they've become so full of what's known as cognitive dissonance from the mainstream media, and so deluded by the flattery that's all around them that they're so wonderful, they're so special, we're all winners, and they think they're brilliant. But it's sad, folks, that most people can express no original thought. And when they do express something, they're simply spouting back what they've been programmed with from these giants like Google and Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and the cable news networks. I don't hear much original thought out there. I don't see people thinking. And even Fox News now, it's been hijacked. The only one out there that I'm still seeing some real critical thinking coming out of is OAN, One America Network News, OANN, I think it is. Check it. It's on most network, on most providers now. And Liz Wheeler is doing a bang-up job. It's amazing. She is out there thinking. I told Terry I would be proud to have her as my daughter. She is such a clear thinker, so articulate, asking those tough questions. But all of these others, they're all pro-communist demon groups, okay? They call us goyim. They laugh about us. They call us the flyover country. And they view us as useless eaters, only worthy of being thrown away at their earliest convenience, maybe during a pandemic. Folks, they want us dead. They don't care about our health. You ever hear of the Georgia Guidestones? It's down in Georgia. You could do a search on this and look at the pictures. One of their tenets, one of their commandments for the world is a sustainable population of 500 million. Folks, that means that nearly 87.5% of the world population has to die. And then have you heard of the Deagle Report? Well, this report's been out for years. I used to talk about it on the old show with John. The Deagle Report projects that by 2025, the U.S. gross domestic product will drop to $2.4 trillion. Now, in 2017, the last year cited in the Deagle Report, the U.S. economy was $19 trillion. Did you hear that? So where's all this going? Well, we're in the middle of it right now, the shutdown. You think it's just going to spring back and we're going to have the GDP pick up to $19 trillion? That's their plan, folks. And then this is the one that's very chilling. In the 2017 report, the U.S. population was at 317 million, and they projected by 2025, the U.S. population will be down to 100 million. What's this all about, folks? I'm telling you, we're being conned big time. Now, more on that in the weeks to come, provided the Lord's willing, and he's still moving me to do these. But for today, let's focus on what I'm going to call mind control in America. Yes, there's mind control in America, and it all began in earnest, in my opinion, back in the turn of the 20th century with a man named Edward Bernays. Now, you see, Bernays, he pioneered what is euphemistically called public relations, but that's also known as propaganda. In fact, in 1928, Bernays published his most influential work. And what was it titled? Propaganda. I have a picture up in the banner on Blog Talk Radio. Take a look at it. That's his book. And in that book, he argued that public relations isn't a gimmick, but a necessity. Listen to this quote right out of his book. The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government. That's what we're seeing on these pressers every night, folks. So these manipulating the mechanism of society by the coronavirus scare constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed. Our minds are molded, our tastes formed, and our ideas suggested largely by men we have never heard of, and should I add, haven't elected. It is they who pull the wires that control the public mind. That's what Burks and Fauci are doing right now. Remember that appeal to pity I played with Fauci? That's exactly what that was. Now, I can go on this. And I'll add a couple things. You ever hear of Lucky Strike cigarettes? Well, they used to come in a green package, and women didn't like green. So you know what Bernays' solution to that was? Let's do a campaign where we make green fashionable. He didn't go to Lucky Strikes and say, change the color of your cigarette packaging. He made women think green was fashionable. Then they started to buy Lucky Strikes because they were in green packages. Plus, he convinced the entire nation on the value of poisoning our water supply with Alcoa's waste from smelting aluminum. One of these scholarly papers written about people's dental histories in Southwest United States, we have dissolved calcium fluoride in water. And not being a chemist, he says, wow, Alcoa is making all of this sodium fluoride as waste product, which is toxic. It's a poison. Let's just cite this study about calcium fluoride, and let's get every municipal water authority across the country to start dumping it in the water supply. It's a class 4 neurotoxin, folks. It poisons you. It kills you. an LD50 that's in the gram level, and it's cumulative. Now, pre-LD50, which means that 50% of the patients will die at that dose for body weight, pre-LD50 levels of poisoning induce a stupor, a mental stupor. This is right out of the Merck manual, folks. Now, I can go on and on all this concerning Bernays, but what's important in this discussion is that his thinking influenced a group in Britain that was formed about the same time, a little later in his career, called the Tavistock Institute. They brought us the Beatles. They brought us so much with regard to the culture of the late 20th century. I can give you all sorts of history on Tavistock, but you can read about that online. What's important here is that Tavistock and its minion now, the cable news networks, and I include Fox in that, invent what we should believe. And that's no accident, because we've become victims of what you can call future shock. There was a book written on that. It's also known as the Long War. The Fabian Society, the Tool Society said progressive gradualism. I mentioned the book Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. These are all words, key words that you need to search and study up on, folks. This is literally a battle for our souls. Now, Edward Bernays, his uncle Sigmund Freud called a portion of our soul our ego. And that's essentially our mental structure, okay? And as I told you last week, our mind is part of our soul, along with our will and our emotions. So whether you view this psychologically or spiritually, our soul is structured in a way through the ego, or that mental portion of it, to go through development. And how do we develop our mind? By words and images. Likewise, it can be fragmented by words and images, okay? And that's what the Tavistock graduates at the cable news networks use. That's their methodology. You know, things like operant conditioning, desensitization, cognitive dissonance, just to name a few, they use these. By the way, did you know that Anderson Cooper was an intern at the CIA? And there were investigative articles done back in the 90s concerning the CIA having a field office at CNN to change public opinion on some of the things that were going on over in Bosnia and Sarajevo. They had to change public opinion on that war over there, okay? And the CIA was involved with the cable news networks. Now, you think they just said, oh, that we just did that for a while. Folks, they're still doing it. And what it does, the Bible tells us that when you create these tensions, okay, using these methodologies, that creates a double-minded individual, one foot in the world, one foot, and it leads to instability in all of our ways. So we lose a portion of our soul. And when we lose a portion of our soul, we lose our dreams. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Are you hearing this, folks? So what is this tree of life? And folks, please don't tune me out right now. Please don't. Okay? I'm not talking about religion here. I'm not. And I'll get into that a little bit later. Just please listen on, okay? This is the key to having victory over all this. Listen to how the Bible describes this tree of life that I just mentioned out of that quote from Proverbs. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, I know there's some of you out there simply aren't going to hear this. To him that overcometh, you have to stand, folks. You can't let them wear you down. I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So this system doesn't care about you and me, folks. They don't care about our health. They, the proverbial they, promote progressive, nurturing, good. We're all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers that be. But they promote all this stuff as good when actually it has exactly the opposite effect. But when you have ears to hear what I'm saying and what I want to share with you now, and you can see the world as it truly is, not as the propaganda that's being spewed at us using Bernays methods and what the Tavistock Institute has formalized on the cable news networks today. When you don't allow your wills to be corrupted anymore, and you don't wish something to be normal again, when you don't merely turn away, okay, and say, I can't do this, and just embrace the darkness. And folks, I'm telling you, it won't go away. We need the light of truth. We need this light of truth. And this truth has a name. Okay, and his name is Jesus. Okay, said, hold on, don't tune me out, please. This isn't religion that I'm talking about here. This message isn't about religion. This is good news I'm sharing with you folks. And by the way, did you know that word good news literally is where the word gospel comes from? So don't just go along to get along. Don't embrace this collective shadow that's on us, you know? Folks, the Tavistock Institute is like an octopus with tentacles in all the various elements of our culture today, okay? It's a secret agent of sorts, okay, that runs wild right now throughout our culture makers, our movers and our shakers, okay? And they're bombarding us daily with gloom and doom. They quench our spirits. And how do they do that? They do that by aggravating our perception of reality with fear, false evidence about reality. I call it fear porn, okay? And they seem to make all of these bad things that are happening interconnected, these global problems. And then they bring us a solution, problem, reaction, solution. They've taken Hegel, okay, and they've synthesized Hegel, okay, with those methodologies of Bernay. And then they've applied some of the things that B.F. Skinner and Sigmund Freud have learned concerning this dissonance and this desensitization, telling us that we're all fighting this invisible enemy right now and that we lack resources and we need more ventilators and more beds and more of this and more of that. And I've been using that image out of that Saturday Night Live skit lately. More cowbell, you know, in that skit. The music mogul, he says, I have a fever. And if you say that now, you ought to see the look people give you. He says, and there's only one prescription, more cowbell. Well, that's what they're doing. And that's how they bend our minds towards their ends. They manipulate reality with this false evidence about it. They're fake news. They tell us the sky's falling and we have to give them more control and more resources and dictate how we handle our environment so that we can be saved. Folks, I'm telling you, it's all a lie. This is mind control. Massive manipulation, creating this national crisis, social chaos. Remember, Satan's motto is ordo ab chao. So out of this pandemic, out of this chaos, total goofiness, the bizarro world we have, there's going to be some unintended consequences. Chaos, okay? But under the guise of this prevention and under this chaos that follows, we didn't cause it. This was a virus. The shutting down of the economy for months, they know what it's going to do. They're going to create oppression. And then using their Tavistock methods, in both theory and practice, with this mass mind control, they're going to get into all the strategic institutions, okay? The education system, the health system, government, media, and they're going to have all the solutions. They're going to literally turn reality inside out. They're going to mobilize the masses with fear. They're going to freeze the herd. That's us. And then they're going to slaughter us. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief, and that's the Satan, okay? And remember, fear is to Satan what faith is to Jesus. The fear cometh not but to kill and to steal and to destroy. But I, that's Jesus, I come that they, that's you and me, folks, might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. So this is the coronavirus mainstream media mind war. Let's call it that, okay? It's mind control, folks. That's what it is. It's mind control. But here's a miracle that's ready to happen for each and every believer. And I want to share this with you. It's really important, folks. Really important. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is for believers, folks. This is for the saved. And if you're not sure you're saved, listen to the ends of the last three messages I did on the coronavirus. Messages 445 through 447, and get saved. Understand the body, soul, spirit dynamic that's at play here in each and every living soul. And there are a lot of messages out there that get into tremendous detail on salvation, triune nature of man. Okay, folks, there's 440 plus messages out there. Go back and listen to them. If you can't find the ones that you're interested in, let me know. I'll get you those messages. Okay? So if you really want to be set free, from all of this chaos, all of this craziness going on right now. Listen up, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And that's the dynamite today. And it's all right here. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, that happened at Pentecost some 2,000 plus years ago. And then I encourage you, quench not the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, folks. So I hope and pray that you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, baptism as a believer is once and for all, and it's the accomplished work in every child of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, okay, and this is St. Paul, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body." So if you're truly saved, you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, folks, that doesn't mean what some people think it means, so don't tune me out right here. Remember, we're never told to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're told to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, there is actually a number of works of the Spirit in a believer. For example, there's this baptism I talked about. And what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, it's a seal of sorts, okay? So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is this act that God does when he places you and me into his body, the body of Christ. And we're baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit when we get saved. Now, we don't want to defer hope, okay? We don't want to allow our hopes to grow weary. And if you're truly saved, this has already happened to you. Remember Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, all right? "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Then after you're baptized by the Spirit, sealed by the Spirit, there's this indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So not only does God place the body of you into the body of Christ, but then he comes into you and me, and he lives in us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Now some people will tell you, well, you can get saved and then later on receive the Holy Spirit. Folks, I don't believe that for one bit. It's impossible to be saved without receiving the Holy Spirit. I didn't say it. Paul wrote it to the Romans in chapter 8, verse 9. "Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Remember, by the baptism of the Spirit, we're placed into the body of Christ. So the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is when Jesus Christ comes into you and me. And then there's that sealing of the Holy Spirit. When we're sealed into Christ, 1 Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, "After ye believed, ye were sealed." How? With the Holy Spirit of promise. Bottom line, once we're children of God, once we're truly saved, okay, we're always saved. Talking about false salvations here. These are acts of the Holy Spirit of God. And his actions, his promises are yea and amen. They're the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So the baptism, the indwelling, the sealing of the Spirit of God, these are all things that happen to us when we become true believers. Now stay with me, folks, because this is where it gets good. And I know this message is long, but this is important. Jesus said, "Against these, the members of the body of Christ, the gates of hell shall not prevail." You know, picture that as sheltering in place. This lockdown, these gates will not prevail against you and me. Folks, these are spiritual things that need to be done. And they need to be accomplished in the heart and life of each Christian out there right now. But this next part is really important. The key to the power and victory in the midst of all this chaos, okay, is the filling of the Holy Spirit. And this part of our relationship with God is not automatic for each Christian. It's not. This filling of the Holy Spirit, this filling with the Holy Spirit is conditional. And it depends on you and me and our receptivity and our surrender and our exercise of his gift of faith. So when we're filled with the Spirit, God supernaturally makes weaklings into witnesses. We're not to argue. We're not a prosecuting attorney. We're witnesses. On that day of Pentecost, 120 disciples led 3,000 to Jesus Christ. Today, 3,000 can't even lead 120 to Jesus. And the reason is that we don't understand the fullness of the Spirit. We're allowing this Tavistock-driven mainstream media with their cable news minion to quench our spirits. We don't understand what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And there's another act of the Spirit, okay? So there's baptism, indwelling, sealing, filling, and then there's the anointing. So Jesus was anointed by the Holy Ghost with power. That's what the Bible says, not me. At his baptism in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, when the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus, he was filled with the Spirit. Now, Jesus was already filled with the Spirit. You really think Jesus lived 30 years without being filled with the Spirit? Well, of course not. So if John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, why wouldn't the Lord Jesus Christ have been filled? So there's something different here between filling, indwelling, anointing. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit from his childhood, but he was anointed with the Spirit when his ministry began. So what is this anointing? Well, the anointing comes upon each and every one of us who believe when God gives us a special task. So when you have a special task to do in the midst of this chaos, whether it's to share the good news, to sing, to witness, to pray, whatever it is, okay, just put your hands up and say, oh God, I know, Lord, that you dwell in me. Dear Lord, now fill me. Take every part of me. Just penetrate every part of my being, my very essence, and anoint me, Lord. Oh, Lord, please anoint me. Let your unction function in me. Let your power manifest through me. Folks, this is new supernatural power. This is dynamite. And it's the first ingredient that we need to start to exercise as this miracle manifests. And we quench not the Spirit of God in the midst of this chaos. And there's going to be a flame that starts to glow across the churches. Okay? So I'm just telling you, folks, I love y'all. Quench not the Spirit by all of this fear porn that's out there. This is Resurrection Sunday tomorrow. And it's the first time in this history of the nation that we have not gathered as a body of believers. You think that's not from the enemy? So rise up and at 11 a.m. tomorrow, open your windows all across this nation and sing Amazing Grace. And remember, just remember, folks, remember what we've been playing every week here. We're no longer slaves to fear. So celebrate the victory we already have in Jesus. And remember, we're no longer slaves to fear. I love you all, and I'll be back next week, provided the Lord's willing, and we're still here.